Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. And we'll be taking our text from this passage this morning, Colossians 3 and verses 1 through 4. As we think about seeking the things which are above, that's what our topic is this morning. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." You know, we were studying the book of 1 John this morning in Bible class, and we were talking about how the book of 1 John was written to combat false teaching of Gnosticism in John's day and time. And the book of Colossians was also written to combat some false teaching that had come into the church. And specifically, those who were seeking to introduce the philosophies of men, and specifically a form of asceticism, which is this idea that you can be holy simply by abstaining from earthly things and abstaining from physical desires and things like that. You know, starving yourself and going out to the desert and living alone, you know, by yourself, that kind of idea. And there were some who were saying, well, if you live this life of asceticism, you see, that's what it means to be spiritual. But that's really a very carnal way of thinking, as the Apostle Paul sets forth in this book. And so they said that you had to, in order to be spiritual, that you had to deny the body of certain physical things, certain physical appetites and things of that area. And Paul flat out rejected that concept. But instead, what he teaches here in chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4 is that if we are going to be spiritual, it's not through the denial of certain things that we that our body desires, and there are certain things that we shouldn't participate in, don't get me wrong, but that's not what it means to be spiritual. What it means to be spiritual is to seek spiritual things. And then you may ask, well, what are spiritual things? And that's why Paul says spiritual things are things where Christ is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when he talks about where Christ is seated, he's making a point of saying something about Christ, namely that Christ is King, and that we need to follow Christ, and we need to live by His example and by His pattern of life. And that's why He says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Because Christ is our life. And that's what it means to be spiritual. It's to follow Christ and to live the way that Christ lived and to do the things that Christ did in a spiritual manner. You see, physical pursuits are just physical pursuits. But to be spiritual, we need to pursue that which is ultimately spiritual. And He who is ultimately spiritual is Jesus. And so this morning, as we think about setting our minds on the things that are above, seeking the things that are above, seeking Christ within our life, I would like for us to think about three things. First of all, we need to value the things that are above. Secondly, we need to visualize the things that are above. And then finally, or and thirdly, we need to venerate the things that are above. There's actually 4 points, not three here. And then fourth, we are to venture the things that are above. So let's think about these four things this morning as we think about setting our minds on the things that are above, seeking the things that are above. And I hope that we will encourage in everyone's life the ability to contemplate spiritual matters, to think about heavenly things, not carnal things, but to really focus our minds upon Christ as being our King and what that means to seek the things that are above. And in doing so, we will each cultivate within our life an attitude of spirituality, which is what we really want. And that's something that I know we're all concerned about, because if you weren't concerned about that, you wouldn't be here this morning. So let's consider these matters. First of all, we need to value the things that are above. Do you realize that we seek what we value in our daily life? We see that we value the things that are around us. People value their property, and so they will fix up their property. They will add value to it. They will add a strip of material here, and they will put some paint over there, and they will put more value into that property. People value their automobiles, and you'll see them outside, you know, washing them and taking great care for them, and very much consideration for them. People value their families, and so they will spend time with them, and they will work with them, and they will be patient with them and love them. And so we seek what we value, and we don't seek that which we don't value. So we need to value the things that are above. We need to really put that first within our lives. What is the value of the things that are above? Well, consider where love comes from. For example, God is love, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, in several places. And we learn the love of God from John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We should value love. That's one of those things that is above that we need to seek. What else is above that we should seek? The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross. We should value that. That was a very costly price that God paid for our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter writes, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's how valuable you are. And that's how valuable God considers us. And that value comes from above. It comes from God. And we should value the same things that God values. He valued his Son. We should value his Son within our life. And we should value eternal life. There are many things in this world that we consider worthy of our time. And we spend a lot of time pursuing these things. But ultimately, these things are not going to be around anymore. And God is going to eliminate them and get rid of them. And all the old things are going to pass away, and he's going to make all things new. I don't know what that's going to be like. It's going to be great. But in order to appreciate them, we will need to have eternal life. And to have eternal life, we must believe in his Son Jesus and obey his word. And so we need to value eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Do we value these things? Do we value the things that are above? These are valuable things. We should place our value within them. And why ought we to do this? Because these things are worth valuing. These things are things that are eternal in nature and that will continue on. Love is something that is going to abide forever, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that will continue on through the ages. Love is worth valuing, 1 John 4 and verse 16, because God is love. Life is also worth valuing, and we desire eternal life because we know the value of life itself. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Not only do we want life, we want the abundant life, a blessed life, a peaceful life, a loving life, a kind life, a generous life, all of these things that Jesus lived himself. We want those things within our life, and we will find those things if we seek that which is above. Eternal things are truly worth valuing. 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 17 through 18, the Apostle Paul says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that's where our true values need to lie. So to seek the things that are above, first of all, we need to value the things that are above. Second, we need to visualize the things that are above. That is, to set our minds on them, to really focus upon those things on a daily basis. How do we do that? Well, we've got to get out of those physical and carnal pursuits, and we've got to be minded on the things of the Spirit. Consider what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So there's what we need to do. Concern and anxiety and worry about carnal, temporal, physical things, fleshly things, that will lead to death. And we do that in so many ways. And we need to eliminate that from our life. But rather, instead, we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And we talked about that this morning in class a little bit, and what that means as we think about Galatians chapter 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, patience, and those things. And that's the kind of things we need to consider when we visualize the things that are above. When we really start thinking about them, we really start projecting those things into our lives and thinking about, well, how am I going to be more loving to someone else? How am I going to be more kind to someone else? And really think about it. You know, the experts in professionalism, let's say, the experts in professionalism say this, that if you want to become a professional at something, or you want to become an expert at something, that you need to practice that over and over and over and over again. But they say even more than that, what's important is that we dwell upon it. For example, they will tell the basketball players, they will say, not only is it important for you to get out there and to actually shoot the hoops, but you need to visualize how that ball is going to go into that hoop. And they say, if you think about it in your mind and you visualize how it's going to go up and into the basket, then when you perform, that will have an impact upon your performance. And those who visualize how they're going to practice do much better than those who just get out there and try to do it, because they're thinking about it. And that's what we need to do as well. Listen to the words of the Holy Spirit here in 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 13. As we think about visualizing the things that are above, we need to be thinking about putting those things within our minds. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you want to know those things? Then we need to listen to the Spirit. Which things we also speak, the Apostle Paul says, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so we need to know those spiritual things by studying His Word, by letting the Holy Spirit speak to us, and then by visualizing those things within our life. We must be a people of the Word to be a people of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6, verse 17, and what? The sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's what we need to take within our life. Visualizing those things above, putting God's Word within our heart into our minds. We need to know the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And thinking about these things, it's so important. It's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, right? Think, visualize, put them into our minds. So let's value the things that are above. Let's visualize the things that are above. Let's venerate the things that are above. What does that mean? It means to regard with respect and reverence. We really will practice the things that we respect and reverence. So many people venerate the things of man. And we see that in our world today as we see the political season getting well underway here within our state, within our country. And we see all of the concerns of man coming forth. And where are spiritual matters? And you may say, well, there's some candidates that have spiritual matters in mind. And yes, there are some. And that's good. I applaud them for that. But by and large, it's about the earthly things. In religion, this takes the form of worship as entertainment, you know, just earthly things, carnal things, satisfy me, tickle my fancy, give me what I want. In society, some think that all must be done to satisfy human, physical, carnal needs, and that's it. In marriage today, marriage has turned into a wholly carnal relationship as far as the state is concerned. Many believe also that government will solve all of our problems, and what they have in mind is just the carnal aspects of our lives. They don't have in mind the physical aspects, and all of these things have been turned on their heads, have been turned upside down. They have gone from being God-centered to man-centered. And so this is a very big problem, how people venerate carnal desires within this life. Well, as Christians, our goal is not to try to satisfy the carnal desires of men, but we are to please God. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, you're bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. We cannot be the servants of men. We must serve God. Do I now persuade men or God, or do I please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Galatians 1 and verse 10. And so it doesn't matter how many men vote for how many carnal things and desire all these things. For that to happen, ultimately, that doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not we are going to seek to please God within our life, and to focus on the things which are above, the spiritual things, because that's what's going to make the real difference in the lives of other people. That's what's really going to change people so that they are no longer addicted to those carnal things that they desire and are no longer pursuing selfishness and greediness and all of those things that destroy one another. Our goal needs to be to please God. And to do that, we need to venerate the things that are above. You know, we need to recognize our place in relationship to God. You see, our place has gotten turned upside down as well. Instead of being the creator, we need to recognize that we are the creature. Instead of being the saviors, we need to recognize that we are the sinners. Instead of being the masters, we need to recognize that we are the ministers. You see, we've got things backwards. We think we're the masters. We think we're the saviors. We think we're the creators. And God's Word tells us just the opposite of that. That we are actually the created, the sinners, and the ministers. And that's what we need to be focusing on within our life. Recognizing our place in relationship to God. Venerating the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God as the King of all things. We are below Him, you see. To seek the things that are above means that we are below. And so we need to venerate that which is above, not venerate that which is below. And then finally, as we seek the things that are above, we've got to value the things that are above. We've got to visualize within our mind those things that are above. We've got to venerate the things that are above, really respect and reverence those things. And then we've got to venture the things that are above. Venture them within our life, which means put them out there. Actually get busy with the doing of these things. It's not enough to hold Christianity on a mere mental level. Oh yes, I'm a Christian in my mind, you know. But I don't practice Christianity. My life hasn't changed as a result of that. Well, what's the matter? We're not really venturing the things that are above. We're not going out and trying to practice them. Let's not be hearers of the word only, as James tells us in James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's be that wise man that built his house upon the rock and listened to the words of Jesus and practice them within our life. Let's walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 25. How do we do that? Abstain from the love of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So we've got to abstain from the love of the world. We've got to lay up our treasures in heaven, as Jesus said, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've got to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Galatians 5 verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We've got to love our enemies. Therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12 verses 20 through 22. We've got to visit the sick and care for the elderly, give to the orphans and the impoverished, because pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, James 1 and verse 27. And that is venturing the things that are above, putting into practice this fruit of the Spirit that we discussed this morning. Putting that into practice. Really loving other people. Really having joy within our life. Really knowing the peace that passes all understanding. Really letting that affect us as we go out and live our lives each and every day. Seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of the throne of the Father. That's Jesus, you see. Jesus is all of these things. And we need to have a relationship with Him, a spiritual relationship. A spiritual relationship. So that our identity can be in Him. And so that we can practice the things that He teaches us. And live our lives as He lived His life. And what does that mean to identify with Christ? It means to hear Him and believe Him. Repent of our sins, confess Him. And to be baptized, coming into the likeness of His death and resurrection, being enclothed in Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Taking on His identity for our life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The faith that's in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. That's what it means to identify with Christ. Do you need to identify with Him this morning? By seeking the things that are above, valuing those things, visualizing those things, venerating those things, and venturing those things within your life if you haven't been doing that. And you need the prayers of the church. Then come this morning and ask for those prayers. If you need to become a child of God, come and we can help you with that as well. Whatever your need may be, let's have this song of encouragement. Please stand.